morning, Christ Church. Happy Sunday. Good to see you. hey, let me say a prayer and we'll get into the message today. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at the scriptures. And Lord, I pray that we could experience the abundant life that you've come to give us, Lord, that you invite us to. Father, I pray that where we are depleted, where we are exhausted, where we need renewal, that, Lord, you would give it to us and we could be strengthened by your presence and your grace. So meet us now in these moments together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are starting a new sermon series today, and it's called The Deep Life, and we're going to be talking about rest and renewal and how to live from a place that doesn't feel like you're kind of living on empty. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of play this game with my car when my gas hits E. I'm like, how much time do I have? Anybody? And I feel like generally I'm pretty safe within a half hour. If it's E, I bet I haven't ran out for a while. It works out pretty good. And, you know, it's one thing to be on E and to drive a car, but when you live life on E, it can be a dangerous thing. It can be a thing that leads us into challenging and difficult places. So through this series, we're going to talk about how we can lean into the fullness and the strength and the renewal that God has for us. And so really this sermon series, I kind of want to talk to three groups of people. Number one is if you feel a little frustrated in your life, here's the way that I think about it. Remember that ladder game at like Cedar Point and carnivals where like all you got to do is go up this like very small ladder and you win the prize and you look at it, you're like, that thing's super easy. And then you get on it and you're spinning around and falling. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, it shouldn't be this hard. This is simple. You know, five steps and I'm there. And I think sometimes life feels like, man, it shouldn't be this hard, but yet we're kind of spinning. Anybody been there? That's the frustrated. The second part is the exhausted. When we're grinding and life is challenging and life is pulling a lot out of us, how do we find rest and renewal in that moment? That's what we're going to talk about through this series. And the last category is the weary. The book of Galatians says, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the right time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And sometimes when you're serving God and you're trying to love the people around you and love your family, sometimes you get weary in doing good. I don't know if you've ever been weary in doing good. And you kind of get to that point where you're just worn down, or maybe there was a season in our life where we were more engaged in serving and pursuing God than we are today because we just kind of got weary. And so we're going to talk about how to get back on the path and how to get reconnected. So we're going to look at John 10 today, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses to you, and these are just absolutely powerful verses. So as I read these, I want you to really listen to what Jesus is saying here. And here's how it goes. John 10, verse 1. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, but by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. Say that line with me. The sheep hear his voice. And I want you to pay attention in these verses how much that's emphasized. The shepherd's voice and the sheep being able to hear it. He calls his own by name and leads them out. Now, it's just worth noting that this style of shepherding is a little bit different than you see today. Today, sheep are driven out by sheepdogs and different things. And so the way that ancient shepherds led was they led from the front. The sheep followed them. And so this is what Jesus is explaining. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then I love verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So they're like, that's a great story, Jesus, but we have no idea what you're talking about. And if you ever feel like that when you're reading the scripture, just know you're in good company. They had Jesus right there, and they still didn't get it. And so Jesus says, all right, well, let me explain it to you. So he said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And they're like, okay, Jesus, this is perfectly clear now. Just kidding. I don't imagine that. That's what they were thinking. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And then look at this verse 10. This is really what I want to focus on today. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's the deep life. That they may have a surplus. They might have fullness. That those who are Jesus' sheep, if you will, they have this sense of depth in their life that they can draw on and experience and find strength in. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, there is a lot in these verses, but here's what I just want to make totally clear to us today. Jesus is showing us that his voice, being able to identify and listen to his voice, is the voice of life. That to experience a life that is abundant, that is full, that is rich, that has reserves to draw on, the way into that, the way to that voice, that life, is through the voice of Jesus Christ. And so I want to just talk about three things around this today. I want to talk about what this deep life is that Jesus explains in John 10:10. And then I want to talk about why it's difficult. Reading this text, it sounds really simple, but it's often difficult in our lives, and then just how to go about to begin to live it. So let's talk about the first part. What is this deep life that Jesus says, if you hear my voice and if you follow my voice, I'll lead you to it? What is this life? Well, first, it's a life of abundance, of fullness. And again, these are terms that are about quality, not quantity. I think today in our world, you know, we tend to think, well, the good life is having a surplus of stuff. But here's the deal. You can have the greatest stuff in the world. It doesn't make you content. You can have all the coolest gadgets, the nicest cars, the nicest house, all that, but it doesn't fulfill our souls. Jesus is talking about something deeper. He's talking about the quality of our life. And he's saying this life, it's a life that is resistant to the corrosive influences of the world. You know, sometimes the world can make us jaded. It can make us go to dark places in our hearts and minds. And the life that Christ is inviting us to is a life that's resistant to those forces. It's also a life that is lived from a place of satisfaction, not discontent. Now, in John 10, Jesus uses this imagery of him as the good shepherd. And Jesus was drawing on this image that had been used all through the scriptures of God as the shepherd leader. And one of the most clear and powerful ways that this was explained was in Psalm 23, which was written about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. And many of us might just know this parts of this psalm by heart, but it starts like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or other translations, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack anything. And Jesus was alluding to this passage as he calls himself the good shepherd. And ultimately, he was saying, hey, I'm who the scriptures have been talking about. I am the shepherd king. I am the shepherd God. I've come here to lead you in that way. And Psalm 23 shows us that he leads us from a place of contentment. That his leadership, we start from a place of satisfaction. I don't know if you ever have those days where just nothing is good enough for you. And you're just like, you're grouchy about everything. Anybody have those days, or am I the only one? Just nothing can be good enough. And so you're barking at the kids, and you're barking at your spouse, and you're barking at people in the car. They can't hear you, but it still feels good to do it. You know, and just at nothing can be right. That's living from that place of discontent. And we all do it sometimes. We all can sort of get absorbed in that perpetual frustration, but Christ says, hey, I lead you, and I lead you from a place where your soul's not on E, but it's satisfied, which sounds pretty good to me. It's a life that has more than it needs, so it can act generously. That word abundance is really, again, fullness or surplus. Christ says, I'm going to lead you in the type of way that your tank is so filled, you have something to give others. I know we all hit those days where we're like, guys, I got nothing else to give. You been there? I know we all hit those days where it's just like, oh, don't ask me for anything. Don't just let me tune out and numb out because I just got nothing left to give. But here's what Christ says. He says, my life, the life that I am giving to you and leading you in is one where there's fullness so much that there's surplus. You have more to give. And it's a life of focus. Now, this is a part that really jumped out to me this week about these verses. There is this powerful theme through this where Jesus repeats again and again, he speaks to the sheep and they hear his voice and they follow. And what that means is that the sheep, they know where they're supposed to be and they know what they're supposed to be doing. You said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they respond to it. And so I lead, I go in front and I lead them, and where I'm at, I call them out with me and they follow behind me. In other words, this life is a life of clarity. The life that Jesus offers us, it's a life of focus, the life that says, all right, I know where I'm supposed to be and I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And having that clarity in life is really refreshing. The times where you don't have it, it's frustrating. It's taxing. But Christ says, no, I come to bring focus to our lives. And ultimately, it's a life defined by intimacy with God, by a sense that God knows our name. He calls the sheep by name, that God is our protector, that God is our provider. See, there's a lot of other metaphors Jesus could have used to show what his leadership is like. He could have said, I am the general of your soul. And that would paint a very different picture. That would not paint this intimate picture. A general, they're going to be way more detached from you and command and control. But this is a picture of intimacy. This is a picture of comfort. This is a picture of deep relationships and deep nurturing and protection and guidance. And so this life that Christ is offering to us is one that has all those things. Now, why can it be difficult to experience this? Jesus says very clear, I've come so that you could have life and have it abundantly. And maybe some of us are sitting here today and we're like, man, Jesus, that sounds great. But I'm waiting for it to come. That sounds really good, but I'm not experiencing that right now. I kind of maybe am feeling something a lot different than that. What is the difficulty behind this? Now, Jesus actually shows us. And it shouldn't surprise us that this deep life, this abundant life, is actually hard to experience. And here's why. Because Jesus says there are a lot of thieves and robbers out there. Did you catch that in those verses? And he restates it a couple times. And he says, there's a lot of thieves and robbers, and they're calling out to you. But when you listen to their voice, when I listen to their voice, what does it do? It robs, it kills, and it destroys. So Jesus says that there's only one voice that leads to the deep life. There's only one. But there are a multitude of voices that lead to robbery, death, and destruction. That's kind of a grim picture, isn't it? But Jesus said, this is the reality of life. There's a lot of other voices that we can listen to, but they will take us away from life, and they will take life away from us. You with me on this, church? Now, this is a powerful thing we have to think about this morning. There's a great play by Shakespeare, and it's called Othello. And it's a story about this Venetian general, and he's got a good life, he's got a good role, a good job, he's well-respected, he's a good man on all accounts, he's married and loves his wife, and they have this great relationship. But through the play, there's another guy that becomes jealous of him. And he begins to speak into his life, but he speaks lies into his life. And he begins to create distrust between Othello and his wife. And so things happen, and he'll say, oh, did you see that? I don't think she's being faithful to you, or I don't think she's trustworthy. And none of it's true, but he begins to speak these things because he's, you know, deceitfully trying to destroy Othello's life. And it's a tragedy, so at the end, Othello kills her in a rage. Even though she did nothing wrong. None of it was actually true. But he had listened to the wrong voice. And this is what Jesus is showing us. Saying, hey, when we listen to the wrong voice, it wreaks destruction in our life. But only the voice of Christ brings life. Now, sometimes it's easier to identify voices outside of us, but here's one of the problems. I have a lot of destructive voices in my own head. Anyone else? Yes, we have to be careful about the voices around us and outside of us, but if we're honest, probably the most destructive ones are on the inside. Amen? And there's multiple ones in my head. Does that concern you at all? My doctor's been very worried about it for years. But there's a lot of voices going on, and they're going on simultaneously. And they're saying different messages, right? There's some voice where I wake up, and it's like, dude, just take the day off. What's it matter? Nothing you do is going to make anything better. You ever hear a voice like that? Or there's a voice where, you know, maybe Allie and I are getting into an argument. It's just like, hey, don't back down. Don't. You are right. Anybody got that voice? Here's what I found. That voice definitely leads me into destruction. Without, it is a thief and a robber. We all have a lot of voices in our head, but here's what gets challenging. And this is why this is so difficult. We don't always recognize them as thieves and robbers. We might think, oh, they're right. Oh, that voice is trustworthy. And what we need to do is we need to learn to discern the voice of Christ from all the competing voices in our lives. Because Jesus says the stakes are high, friends. The stakes are high. It matters tremendously what voice we're listening to today, what voice we're following. Now, here's the good news. Here's the way out. Number one, Jesus just, we have to just be really clear about this. Jesus says, I've come to give you this life. And I just want to state something that's obvious, but we need to just be reminded of it. We cannot live the deep life without Jesus Christ. If we're trying to live a deep and meaningful life, but we're cutting God out, or we're going away from him, we're going any direction other than towards him, church, you're not going to get there. It only comes through Christ. only with him, only in pursuit of him, can we experience this, because he's the only one that's brought it. He's the only one that has it to give. You with me on this? So number one, we can't do it apart from Christ. Number two, we experience it by hearing and following the voice of God. Now, do you ever have miscommunications in your life? No, you always communicate everything perfectly, and it always, yeah. And that's a constant struggle in life, isn't it? In school, on sports teams, at work, in marriage. Miscommunication is a real thing, amen? And we all know the struggle and frustration of it. Sometimes almost every fight and argument that Allie and I have basically comes down to this at some level. You know, I'll be like, we'll be talking, and sometimes I think I'm getting crazier as I get older, but I'll be like, did I say that out loud or did I say that in my head? I can't remember, you know? And she'll be like, yeah, you never said that. I'm like, I swear I did, but I guess it was just in my head to myself. Or, you know, sometimes I'll be like, hey, Allie, did I tell you I got that thing at 6:30 tonight? And it's like 6:25. And she's like, nope, you didn't say that at all. I'm like, yeah, I got a thing at 6:30. I got to go. And that doesn't usually go over great, you know? It's, I thought I communicated at some level. And miscommunication is a real thing. And because as human beings, it's a natural, it's a normal struggle of every human relationship, right? You're never going to find a place or people that communicate everything perfectly, right? You get texts and you're like, what did they mean by that? Is this a good text or a bad text? I don't know the tone of it. It's difficult to communicate well as human beings. And I think because it's difficult, sometimes, church, we project that on God. And we live with this underlying assumption that God doesn't communicate clearly. And I think it really impacts our relationship with him. Because notice what Jesus says again and again and again in these verses. The sheep hear my voice. Jesus assumes and shows that he speaks clearly. That we can hear him clearly. I know sometimes, you know, we're looking for God to speak in really, really cryptic ways. I cry and I'm looking at the clouds. Are they spelling out any words? Like, look, the Lord, he speaks clearer than that. I'm rifling through the radio stations. You know, can I string these lyrics together in a sentence? Like, no, give God more credit. He's a clear communicator. He speaks to us. And Jesus says, we hear him. Now, I know we go through those times and seasons of life where we're like, you know what? I'm struggling to hear God. I can't hear him, Chet. I know Jesus says this, but I'm struggling to hear his voice. Here's what I found true in my own life. When I say that, it's usually not because I can't hear his voice. It's because I don't want to hear his voice. And if I'm honest, I usually know what his voice is saying to me. And now maybe I'm just way messed up, more messed up than you. I don't know. But usually it's not a question, is God speaking? Because Jesus says, I will speak to, he's not going to make it hard. Now, we might not want to hear. Yeah, there's plenty of things I don't always want to hear, right? But that's not on God, that's on me. Sometimes I don't want to hear because I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to have to do what God might be asking me to do. Sometimes I'm just like, I want to have tunnel vision, and I kind of want to be in the driver of my life in this way, but we have to assume God speaks clearly to us and that we can hear his voice. And here's why that's so important, because his voice is the voice of life. His voice is the one that leads us to where we need to be, that leads us to the deep life, to to fullness, to surplus, to abundance. And Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow. Now, let me just throw out a couple other things that I think sometimes get in the way of all this. So there are the thieves and robbers in our own minds, but there's also thieves and robbers in our life that steal the good work of God, or kill, try to kill the good work of God in our lives. And just, there's many we could talk about, but let me just talk about a couple this morning. Number one is distraction. I know that might sound like a small thing, but I think it's actually a big thing. I love the writings of Cal Newport, and I'm going to kind of share some ideas from his books through this sermon series, but he has a book called Deep Work, and he talks about just how we need to rebuild our capacity to focus. That focus is not just about motivation, where you can just like turn it on, like, okay, I'm going to focus now. I've been distracted all day, but now I'm going to focus. It's like you can't do that, because it's a skill that you're developing, or a skill that's being diminished in our lives. And part of this passage is being able to focus on the voice of Christ and focus on the leadership of Christ. And so one of the just small things he says is we need to learn to embrace boredom again, which is just a simple thing to think about. Can we have any dead space in our life? Or when there's dead space, like you got to wait 5 minutes for something, is it, I'm going to go scroll. Anybody? Or I'm going to get some stimulation, but that ruins over time our ability to focus. I think it's important. And I think we need to just think about what the role of technology is in our life and how it impacts our spirituality. Now, don't hear me saying you got to become Amish and start churning your own butter and stuff like that. I'm not saying anything like that. But I am saying we don't think about its role in our life. We don't think about what are good and healthy limits. And I think we need to really think about that. And we need to see the spirituality behind it and apply those ideas and those boundaries and such to our lives. Here's the second thing that can really steal, kill, and destroy the life of God within us is addictions. There was a Harvard study on happiness. It's the longest term study on happiness, and it followed 319 men for 75 years. It's pretty interesting. And it, you know, did extensive research on it and all that. But basically, one of the primary findings from it was the number one marker of unhappiness in someone's life was the presence of alcohol, was an addiction, was substance abuse of some kind. That was the number one thing that could predict an unhappy life. Why? Because it steals, kills, and destroys. And if we're struggling with something or we think, man, there is help around you, friends. And you don't have to struggle alone. And there's good people, and there's people at our church. We have Overcomers that deals with all sorts of addictions on Thursday nights. Rich and Lisa are here this morning. They'll talk to you. But you don't have to go through any of this alone, church. There is help. And the last one is being intentional with our lives. And I just want you to think about this today. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow it. And I want you to think about the different areas of your life, and I want to think about the different areas of my life. And I want you to think, what is Christ saying to me about each of these areas? Now, sometimes when you think about life, just generally, it's too big of a picture. But think about your life in different categories, like your spiritual life, your relational life, your physical life, your career. You know, think about it in those type of categories and just ask yourself this question, what is Christ saying to me and how can I listen to his voice? because his voice is the voice of life. Now, as I was just thinking about this this week, here's what really hit me. And maybe, again, this could just be a me thing, but I was like, you know what? I want to cherish the voice of Christ in my life. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, and he cried out this phrase. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it might sound at first like a weird thing for him to say, but he was actually quoting Psalm 22, which Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm, means that it was a psalm written, again, about 1,000 years before Jesus, but it showed what Jesus was going to come and do, and it gave an image and a picture of that. And so when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out Psalm 22, and essentially he was saying, I am fulfilling this. What Psalm 22 speaks to, I'm living right now. And if you read Psalm 22, it's really kind of crazy in what it says. It paints this very rough and dangerous picture. And what it shows is, again and again through Psalm 22, it shows God's anointed, surrounded by these ravenous animals, just preying on him. And so Jesus was saying, that's what's happening to me on the cross. I'm being devoured. I'm being destroyed. I'm being killed. Life is being stolen from me. And that certainly is what happened to him on the cross. And he says, I'm doing this. But church, he was doing it for you and for me. He allowed himself to be robbed of life. He allowed life to be destroyed in him so life could abound in you and me. Now, Jesus, his voice, that's a voice we need to cherish, because no one else has done that for us, and no one else will do this for us, and no one else can do it for us. And Christ did it for you and me. His voice, not only is it wise and is it good, but it is supremely trustworthy, church, because he gave up his life so we could live with a deeper life, with a richer life, with a protected life, with a life that is led by the Almighty God. So hear his voice, and let's follow it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Pray that you would help us today to just see you as our good shepherd who lays down his life for each and every one of us. Father, thank you for going first. Thank you for leading from the front. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And today, Lord, we just want to hear and cherish and respond to your voice. And I pray you'd help us to do that. And Father, I pray we could experience the fullness that you offer to us. Bless us in this, in Jesus' name, amen.